Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 167, episode 3 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, January 13th, 2021, a cool 7 days until January 20th. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I Wanna Know Where Trump Is. Pence, can you show me? I want to feel impeachment. Dems tell Trump they can blow me. Or something like that. That is courtesy of Boba Fed Up. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Turn me in. Turn me out. I don't know if I could ever go without. I'm just protesting now. I don't know if I could ever go without. Insurrection rebel, hi. Insurrection rebel, hi. Insurrection rebel, hi.
Okay, anyway, shout out to Tiger on the Discord. You know, my man Harry Styles out there. Styles with Olivia Wilde. Who'd have thought, you know?
Ooh.
I did get up on my celeb gossip game real quick with those photos. So shout out to all of them. And it seems like a pretty good guy, that Harry.
Yeah. Speaking of good guys, that is Tiger, the rapper, right?
In our Discord? No, that's Tiger. This we had Tyga. Tyga. Oh, okay. Tyga's the rapper. Tiger, I believe, behind Tiger Toys from the 80s and 90s.
Got it.
But from the Discord, no less.
Miles, we are thrilled. Oh, we are fortunate. God. We are lucky to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the talented, the thrilling Jackie Johnson!
I've been on 4 times on the Daily Zeitgeist. I can't deny it. I've been on 4 times. I've been on 4 times. That's one less than 5. And I think that is fly.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Listen, I told y'all when I came back for the fourth time, I was gonna sing.
Wow.
And I am a woman of my word.
Hey, you did the fucking, what is that, POD?
It was POD.
Payable on death?
Layered vocals?
The Christian rock band?
Layered vocals? I mean, payable, I don't fuck around death? With covers.
That's what that stands for? Wow. Deeper than I thought.
Well, I don't know, but I know they're like,
those vocals.
I think maybe it's different because they are Christian, but I know a POD is payable on death. Oh, yeah, no. Payable on death is an American Christian metal band formed in 92 in San Diego.
That's what I'm always telling my fellas, my bros on the golf course. You can't take it with you. You know what I'm saying?
I remember they were on Cribs once, and like they live in San Diego, like very normal. And they were like, yo, this is some carne asada
like
from
a regular
Magnoni,
house.
You know what I mean? Like, we're just grilling up the carne asada. And I remember that was always a thing I'll never forget. I'm like, okay, there's some real ass dudes in POD, even though they got the weird dreadlocks.
Nice. Jackie. That was beautiful. First of
thank you.
Loving the energy we're bringing into today's episode.
Needed that.
What's going on? What's new with you?
I mean, listen, I was saying before we started that I'm real anxious. I want out of my damn house. I'm sick of making avocado toast. I'm sick of making food. I just want to like go out and like eat and like go to the mall and like live my damn life. But I'm staying at home. I'm doing what I need to do. But I'm frustrated. Aren't we all? Despite all my rage, I am just a rat in a cage.
Man, we were just talking about that song a couple days ago.
I mean, it's a good one.
It feels right, you know, even though Billy Corgan strayed over the last few years. But those vocals, they fucking
and
get
same
you.
With Disarm. Like, he really got me with that one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What's the thing you miss most? Going to the mall and like every, because I know you like your glam. You like you like to shop and stuff like that. Or
shopping is my cardio. Okay. And that is not a joke.
Right.
You might see that on a coffee mug or
you're
something.
Like, right.
But that is life. That is Bible for me.
Right, because I've seen you. I remember catching you at Century City once. You had a weight vest on, ankle weights,
arm weights.
You were like carrying someone on your back and you had shopping bags.
You joke, but I do have ankle weights.
For the mall?
And I wear them on my walks.
There you go. You got to turn
right.
up. Yeah, I think one thing I had one of those moments where I remembered the before times. And I was looking on Instagram and someone had posted just a photo. It had nothing to do with anything, but it was a photo of people like in a restaurant, like posing in a booth with a table of food and drinks in front of them. And there were people in the background. I know I'm describing a restaurant, but
there were
people I was like, wow. I'm like, I'm going to do that shit as soon as it's safe and reasonable to do that shit. Because that was like one thing I miss
having someone else make my food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, even just even like
tastes
going
different.
To friggin', you know, just grabbing a burrito or something.
Yeah. Or something.
Paquito Moss. I used to hit up Paquito Moss and just get me a burrito, and I haven't done that.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the pace of the vaccine will be maybe in about 3 years.
I was about to say.
Or we should just go.
My wife just got her second dose yesterday.
Okay.
And she did not blow up like a tick, and she is not.
Does that microchips in
cowering
her?
Under the cover, shivering.
Like having a bad
of that
reaction.
Is happening.
To you mean?
Yeah, she's not having a bad reaction.
Good.
Her arm hurt a little bit, like it's a flu
May
shot.
May hurt at
she's
the injection fine. Site.
Yes, yes. Just
where
like
are podcasters on the list? Are we like right under essential workers? Or
yes,
I think we're after prisoners.
Yeah, I think we're. Well, we should be. I mean, most people should be after prisoners.
Yeah.
Prisoners. Well, yeah. I don't know. Well, let's not get into the ethics of having prisons. Jackie, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We are going to talk about the insurrection as super spreader event. We are going to talk about the census and how the Trump administration fortunately managed to fuck that up. Kevin McCarthy, we'll check in with him. We'll check in with how the president is talking now that he's off prompter about the insurrection. His trip to the Alamo, or Alamo, Texas, rather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, apparently it was around the wall, but it does seem like one of those things that might have been planned back when they thought they were going to have overthrown Congress a couple weeks ago. We'll talk about the Burger King rebrand because it can't all be bad news. And yeah, all that, plenty more. But first, Jackie, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I recently Googled, what's the bougiest hotel at the Grand Canyon?
Oh, okay.
Because so
yeah,
I'm supposed to be eloping in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we don't know if we're going to go through with it because hashtag COVID. But we were going to drive. It's supposed to be in Austin. We were going to drive. And I was like, if I'm driving to my damn wedding, I'm going to do it up nice.
Okay.
Mm.
And I'm not a cabin gal.
Right.
I need a little luxury. I need a little pampering, mm-hmm. you know? So I was like, what is the nicest hotel? Is there like a W right on the edge of the South Rim? Like, I need like something. Where's the, you know?
An infinity pool that goes out into the Grand Canyon.
I needed a saline infinity
Where's
pool.
Where's the St. Regis right on the edge. Grand Canyon?
Yes, exactly. The Grand Canyon. Uh-huh. But turns out I can't find one. And we're not going to do it
Sounds like
anymore,
a good thing,
so.
Maybe.
Oh.
The one thing, the closest thing I saw was that one hotel in Utah, Amangiri.
Oh, honey, that was on our road trip.
Oh, did you
No, that was our first. No, but my fiance wants to go really
That's like
bad.
The one.
So it
the,
was,
when you said that, my first thought was, because, look, I'd be on Instagram because all I do is escape. Being what are places around the world where you can go to? Anna Hosney says St. Regis in Park City. Okay, well, a little bit far, but we're looking for Grand Canyon.
That's a little off the path. And Amangiri is right on the
path.
That
shit, I couldn't believe. I mean, that looks like some like Succession shit. That whole resort.
Do you know how much
it's like $1,400 a night, isn't it? At minimum.
The cheapest room that I saw was $2,200 a
okay,
night.
Okay, I saw when they were really.
That's for like their corner janitor closet.
Right, which still has like rock face views and like an infinite glance into the Utah
but
wilderness.
That was stop one on our trip that we planned that we're not doing.
Amangiri is like one of those things I put pictures of like a goal, like a vision board for my goals to be like, I would like to stay there and afford a multi-thousands-dollar a night hotel. Please, God.
But that's what I'm saying. If I would have stayed there and then I headed to the Grand Canyon, I can't stay in a dirty-ass bunk. Right. I needed an Amangiri on the rim.
Why don't y'all get a nice-ass RV?
Oh, honey. I don't do RVs. No.
You could do like one of those
Mercedes
limos,
man?
Like a
Merc Sprinter. Like
I could get one of those Hummer limo.
Hummer
limos
like and just take it across country. Has anyone ever done that?
I mean, listen, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't want to spread my dirty LA germs all across our great country.
Yeah,
so we decided not to do
it. Keep that ass at home for a minute.
Yes.
Congratulations, by the way, on the elopement, the
Thank
pending
you.
Nuptials.
Yeah.
That's
Thank
amazing.
You.
Yeah, I feel like
Wedding
I've witnessed.
Wedding number two, bow, 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 bow. Starter marriages are real, bow, bow.
Starter marriage. Damn, so that means you're getting into the real marriage. If it's you had to flip the starter marriage.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wait,
this is the Amangiri marriage, honey.
Wait, so what is special about Amangiri? It's just
it's just really pretty.
Beyond
it's like,
luxurious hotel in like just this pristine nature. It just, and it's, it looks great. It looks like, again, so next level that I feel like it's some shit like the characters of Succession go to when like they have to get off opioids or something. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, like, the first scene in Succession.
Yeah, when he's like in
two,
Iceland.
When he's like
getting his shit together after killing someone on accident. It's like, it has the same like, no, like we're going to speak real quiet. It's nothing but the nature and...
I'm not into that like austere thing where it's like I paid $4,000 to just like go stay on a stone slate.
No, there's nothing austere about this place. It's like, that like they've built this fucking luxury place. And I'm sure it has
really
a thousand
beautiful.
And one things
and
wrong
with it.
It's
in the middle of nowhere.
Environmental impact may be fucked, but goddamn, if that IG feed, I'm like, what the fuck?
All right, I got to check this shit out.
Damn it, now I'm even more sad, Miles. Why'd you have to talk about
Amangiri?
How great it was?
Hey, see, this is what I do. The only thing I do, like Her Majesty and I, like to try and keep our head in the game, be like, okay, man, we planning every trip we're doing now so we can escape a little bit into the future. Be like, okay, so what are we doing for the first little break we got, like when we can do shit? Okay, let's go here. Let's really start researching.
It's only 8 hours from us.
8 hour drive?
Driving?
Yes.
Wow.
It was stop Later. One on our journey.
What is something you think is underrated, Jackie?
AI taking human jobs. Now hear me out.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I recently bought a robot vacuum, and it is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Wow.
It is incredible. I'm going to have to call Andrew Yang and tell him that there's something yeah. here.
Let's not jump to conclusions here.
This robot vacuum, he knows where my walls are. It. So now, like, he stops just short of it and will just slowly skim around the side. And it's lovely. It's like a symphony watching him work.
Wow. How many? And
he cleans, honey. Oh, my God. I shed a lot. He's just full of my hair all the time.
Oh, how often do you have to empty one of them things?
I mean, I probably run him every 2 days, and I probably empty him
every time.
Day.
Okay.
Every, like, two times, yeah.
I had one. My dad had, like, a knockoff Roomba thing or whatever, you know, like, back when everybody was trying to get on, like the early mm-hmm. days of robot. Because
yeah.
them shits were not that great. And I remember this off-brand one he had was so fucking bad. Like, it ran into shit. It would get confused, trap itself in a corner, go off a step, and be like, sorry, y'all. And then just start beeping.
That's it for me.
Menacingly, like, help me. And you're just like, yo, this shit is fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. I got
a knockoff one, and I got it on Black Friday, and no regrets. I mean,
well, the technology's
shout out to
come
the knockoffs
far.
Out there.
How far we've come.
I feel like that's something that somebody needs to maybe this can be a new thing for Daily Zeitgeist, like technology that like a lot of people adopted too early. Like mm-hmm. the Roomba is definitely one of those things where like,
yes. And then someone sweeps in and like redoes it.
Yeah. And like fixes it. There's like, drones have gotten like really easy to use and cool apparently in the past. Like,
yeah. Since the Obama administration.
They were so loud. Have you ever been to a wedding with a drone and all you hear is that damn buzzing?
Yeah. They have like indoor drones now that just like kind of hover around and you can like play with like it's a hockey puck in midair. But yeah, Roomba is like the one that I got, the generation that I got was the perfect height to just get stuck right under a piece of furniture and you would just have to like do a search party
go
looking
rescue.
For
it's
it.
Like, help yeah. me, please.
Yeah. It was just that height. So I'm assuming they changed.
I mean,
that.
Mine slides under everything with ease.
Wow.
The one thing he does is he will, if there's a cord on the ground, he will eat your cord.
Yeah.
So you just have to lift all the cords up before he goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, I remember when we were doing the live shows, we talked about the first MP3 player, and that motherfucker was a mess.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, like, yeah, there's definitely ones where people are like, hey, that MP3 thing, we got it on this fucking very cumbersome hard drive shaped like a CD player. And then, like, actual technology companies like, thank you. Here it is.
Right. Yeah. There's like some things it takes the second, third generation, like the iPod was like the thing that changed the game. But I feel like other things, it's like 12th generation after you've been like, okay, I tried that. It's a pain in the ass and it doesn't really work. And they like figure it out. So, Jackie, what is something you think is overrated?
You know, I've been in my house for, you know, almost a year. And I used to be that bitch that would always have a nail. And I have not had a nail. I'm rocking the natural nails that the Lord gave me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, why do I need nails?
Right.
Yeah.
Why do we need manicures? Let the nails grow like the good Lord intended.
Wow.
Some are short, some are long, some are snagged, some are dirty. This is who I am now.
Right.
As you can see, I have the one long on my pinky finger.
Yeah, always.
He
keeps saying he's learning a flamenco guitar, but I don't know.
Never.
He keeps hitting
then
me
I just
up
pick
at 4:30
up the flamenco
in the
guitar
morning.
And
he's like, hey, bro. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, gosh.
But I mean, that kind of goes with your whole Natch Butte thing, right?
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I've been meaning to ask.
She did show us her nails, and they are naturally very beautiful nails.
Well, listen, they're all different shapes, but I've learned to love
right.
it. I'm like, you know what? I'm like a snowflake.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of me.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Everything's unique.
Right. Or you cry whenever conservatives do anything. Oh, God. Well, I was going to say even in like pandemic, right? Because I think everybody's learned to like sort of distill or dial back things that they thought they needed or whatever. So for you, I'm curious because I know you last time we, t- you know, you put me on to hand washing for longer than 3 seconds.
The sunscreen.
Naked minutes. You know what I mean? To
yes.
get that oil, you know, get your body hydrated and shit
oil
like that.
Oil up the ass.
Right. Yeah. And so what is some, so are nails something that you've had an evolution with, I'm guessing? Like, are there any other things from
Yeah, I used to have a nail. Right. You would never see Jackie J without a
nail. Right, right, right.
Mm.
And I had to let that go.
What else have you let go?
I mean, the gray hairs are coming for me.
Oh, wow.
The gray hairs are coming for me. I have this, like, spray.
Oh, like the one from the commercial?
It's like, hey, cover up the grays. Like, but I just let them grow for right now. What else?
Completely.
I had my
noticeable.
Lips done a few months ago. I'm still human.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
You know,
what,
we
what
have
does
to,
have my lips
we, it's
done?
It's a calculated risk. Everything we do, every choice we make.
No, Jack and I, we as well got them done back in was October. So.
Yeah. As just like... We didn't do it in person at the same time,
but it was
but we
a group
did have
on
a Zoom party.
Jack was like, look, it doesn't work unless I get to, you know, my wife is like, you're being reckless. And I was like, fine, I guess I could get a little more body to this top lip.
Oof. Yeah. And I only do my upper lip. So that's
why I
had one
that's
left
kind
over.
Of the trend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You Simpson know, y'all joke, style. But that is some Jackie J advice I will give free. Do not use a Groupon to get anything injected into your body. Yeah. Take it from me. I've learned that lesson for all of us.
Oh, you had a,
there's a few things not to scrimp on in life.
You had a cosmetic Groupon disaster?
I mean, I did a few laser hair removal sessions that I would say were a little compromising.
Yeah, felt like you were getting blasted with the Death Star ray.
Or just... Are there cameras in here?
Oh.
Where am I? I don't know.
Wow. You're like, do you need a GoPro
you know
on your head while you do this? You're like, it's a fine print in the Groupon, lady.
Glendale has a lot going on.
You're like, hold
you
on.
Know, you got to be careful.
This is a welding place.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And we're back. And one thing up top, just because I feel like I have personally cycled between referring to the insurrectionists as terrorists and terrorism, and people have pointed out that we should give that suggests we should give more money to fighting terrorism. And there was a GOP Never Trumper who was saying we need new laws to be able to fight this sort of thing about the Capitol attack. But I feel like, I don't know, what we need is for the old laws to actually be applied evenly to white people on the right and white supremacists, which is, I mean, it's obvious, but it's also like, we don't need new laws. We don't need new terror task forces. We need the old terror task forces to stop being so lax on violating human rights, and also...
And also working in law enforcement, too.
That's all
very interconnected. But yeah, I mean, the second they start talking about new terror laws, that means more money for more police and more guns and more bullshit and more whatever the fuck, because there are plenty of laws on the books as they stand that just aren't really being applied. I think in a way, like, at least a lot of activists who are very much on the, like, watching anti-fascist or watching fascists and monitoring, like, how law enforcement and they're all are coalescing, are like, there are plenty of laws that you can just apply now. And, like, even Frank Figluzzi, who's a big pundit on, like, MSNBC, who's, like, their sort of in-house Fed guy, who's like, yeah, no, we need more laws, blah, 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 because it starts, the thing is, like, we can't do stuff before stuff's planned, like, you know, so we need these new laws, and it's just, please. Because the slippery slope is, how much longer till they start applying those laws to people who are, like, trying to, you know, fight against injustice? And, like, then they can very casually deem it this type of activity, which, again, I understand what they did, like, in terms of the broader definition of terrorism. Yes. But, like, when we're talking about new laws and new things like that, we're talking about more money for the, you know, law enforcement, military, industrial complex. And also, you know, because the war on terror was such a smashing hit.
Such a resounding success. Nailed it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so... Yeah, just a little nuance. And I think a lot of people, like, as you listen to the show and hear other people talk, like, that's something to keep in mind, is that what that means is, like, code for we can apply these same sort of things to many people, also increase funding for the police, because the Capitol Police already had a $500 million budget. So what was Moore going to do aside from just actually keeping their own accountable and knowing who works for you?
Yeah, you don't need more money. You need to be not bad at your job. And
you know what's funny? There's a lot of reports too about how over the last few months and years, Trump has only been putting in people at DOJ and the FBI and those other law enforcement agencies who were going to actively make sure there wasn't as much activity investigating his supporters or people who are aligned with the ideology. Yeah. So we get these conflicting reports where they're like, well, I don't know, we haven't done that. And other people are like, we warned y'all that there could be a literal war at the Capitol. And then, you know, there's this, like, whole confusion of who said what and what's happening now and when and whatever. But it's clear, like, there's from the top down, there's a lot of things put in place to allow this movement to get larger and stronger. And it's not because the laws are being enforced. It's because they're looking the other way.
We've been covering this from literally day one on this show. Like, when our first test recording was the day after Charlottesville, we were talking about this FBI agent who was like, all right, so clearly there's going to be a huge infrastructure in place to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again. And it was just crickets. There was nothing. They had nothing in place to fight right-wing white supremacist extremism. So, yeah, it's bullshit. Yeah. All right, let's talk about... Nice overlap in the two main stories ripping America apart, because the insurrection was also a COVID-19 super spreader event.
Yeah, I mean, people probably saw clips as the Capitol was being attacked. Plenty of lawmakers were going into secured rooms and things like that. There's one specific place that we saw footage from where there were only, I think, as much as 150 members were rushed into this secure location as the Capitol was being locked down. And there were clips of Democratic lawmakers, you know, imploring their insurrectionist co-workers to maybe wear a fucking mask. We're inside. Mm. We don't know how long we're going to be in here. There's a fucking pandemic going on. And the least you could do is limit the amount of droplets you're putting in the air as you probably yuck it up on Parler or whatever about where the speaker is or what have you. So that was like, we saw that video and there was like even a clip of Marjorie Taylor Greene, is like the new QAnon disciple in the House, like has her arms crossed and sort of like very amused that someone is asking them to do the bare minimum to ensure people's safety. But now we are seeing that now at least five members now, because a representative from Illinois just tested positive, have tested positive since Wednesday. Pramila Jayapal was, I think, one of the latest people we heard about. And yeah, it's just awful when you like these clips are really fucked up, because you clearly see there's this one moment where this guy, I think he's from Oklahoma, is just saying like, hey, I don't mean to get political, but no, like we're not going to wear the mask. Thank you so much. And like they kind of like laugh it off. And when Marjorie Taylor Greene's office was asked like, hey, what happened? You know, like why they refused to wear a mask? We saw that in a clip. Their office said Congresswoman Green is a healthy adult. She does not believe healthy Americans should be forced to muzzle themselves with a mask. Uh-huh.
This is why I can't go to my own damn wedding. Right. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I can't go to the bougie hotel, but these motherfuckers can just breathe their dirty droplets in everybody's mm-hmm. face. It's infuriating, truly. Yeah.
It's like as if this shit wasn't bad enough. You know, like, there's an insurrection. Now we have, like, fucking just biological warfare being waged on them because they won't take their masks off. Ayanna Pressley tweeted, she said the second she saw all those people who were like rah-rahing the insurrection, she got the fuck out of that room. She was like, I don't even want to be here. Those people. And she's like, and I really, my heart goes out to the people that were stuck with those people, because yeah, look what we're starting to see bear out in these positive results that are, you know, getting.
And don't forget, everyone there is also going home to their little hometowns and whatnot and spreading it all over their communities, right, too.
Yeah.
Ugh. Fun!
Were people rah-rahing the insurrection like as it was happening, or they were just the people who had
up
been
until then saying this stolen? Yeah. But I mean, like, let's be real, over like 150 people still after that were like, yeah, I'm contesting it because I'm a piece of shit. Yeah. So
yeah,
the sedition caucus is very healthy at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's such a tired take to just be like Fox News, but it's not like, if you just step back and view the country, like, it's not a healthy way to exist where there is a huge chunk of the population that's getting all their news from a place that has no duty to tell the truth or have any relation to reality.
Right.
And that's, I mean, it's just, it's incredibly frustrating.
And it's also like reduced it to the point where even an act to protect human life is seen as something so offensive or like bullshit. And it's like, you couldn't even, for a second, like, you know, like, because they're so caught up in like the optics of it or what they define mask wearing to be, that even in the mid, like, it's, yeah, that's how far gone these paths have gone, to the point where now it's just human life is just completely an afterthought. I mean, but of course we've seen that with the hundreds of thousands of deaths that have occurred.
Yeah, we need to. Yeah, and the mainstream media needs to stop treating it as another side of a debate. Like, it is seditious. It's not acceptable. All right, let's talk about the census. A little bit of good news coming out of Trump being just a completely incompetent piece of shit. The administration missed a deadline, so they're not going to be able to... fuck with the census results.
Yeah, they can't,
as much as they intended to.
They can't present their findings of the census to Congress, which is the thing they were loving it, because they wanted to basically fuck up the analysis to not include the undocumented populations in all the states. So that would mean less funding, like less, you know, like what it means for representation in Congress, anything like that. Like just by a limit, making that an invisible population completely creates a burden. And it just, you know, obviously one of their fantasies to make life as hard as possible for people of color. And this deadline, like they had to hit it in order to be able to execute this plan of dismissing those numbers. But for whatever reason, their eye was too much on the insurrection plot that they forgot about this other thing about completely fucking over undocumented people. So what that means is, this is from an article, the outcome that assures that the 2020 census data will not be affected by one of outgoing President Trump's priorities for the data, the subtraction of undocumented immigrants from the population count, a move that would wildly affect congressional representation and federal funding. So that's something. I'm like, it's so weird that the bare minimum, I'm like, oh, small victory. They fucked up the deadline to completely manipulate the census data to do harm to undocumented people. And I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, God, that felt good, huh? What else? What else?
The bar is very low at this point.
Yeah.
Dangerously low.
I mean, and again, this is the thing we're talking about is an opportunity to prevent them from bending the very fabric of reality, like to change the counting of actual human beings so that the people that they don't give a shit about don't get like the things they need to survive to live.
It's a just a disappearing of millions of people. Just instantly. Yeah. And, you know, with this like agenda of America first or whatever. I mean, look, we're going to be grappling with this kind of ideology until who knows when. But it's just like really, again, underlines the, you know, the cruelty that they seek. It's just more like, oh, yeah, like we want to do the census so we can just make sure these people don't have any kind of support in any meaningful way. That's the point. It's not anything else. Right. It's not because of austerity or anything like that. No. Purely to do harm.
Purely white supremacy. Kevin McCarthy, speaking of white supremacy, so he is the House Minority Leader. He has had his eyes on that speaker's gavel ever since Paul Ryan bounced. And he's the dude who, this is what, because there's just so many of these fuckers to keep track of, but this is the thing that crystallized it in my memory was he's the one who gave Donald Trump red and pink starbursts and pulled out all the yellow and orange ones because those are the president's favorite, and has just been his most loyal yes man in Congress, or one of his most loyal. And now he's trying to figure out how to move forward.
Well, it's bad, you know, because he was clearly by being aligned with Trump, it elevated him instantly, you know, to be the minority leader, to never go against the president, to like re-articulate whatever bullshit, cruel, inhumane thing he's saying to make it sound like normal English. And he was like, oh, he's like, I'm on my way. 2022, the midterms are going to hit. I'm going to be the fucking speaker because like there's going to be a lot of outraged Republicans and then maybe I can get. But the insurrection went down. And now he can't get anyone in his party in line. Everyone sees him for the complicit piece of shit he is. The contributions are stalling out because of their support of the insurrection. And, you know, this all kind of, I guess, came to a head, or whatever we can call something coming to a head with when it comes to infighting with President Trump and the Republicans. But on a call, he was basically begging the president. He's like, yo, you got to knock the conspiracy shit off. Please just like go of this. Like, this is going to do more damage than when you're out of the party, which you think he gives a fuck? No, he doesn't. Because there's already rumors of him saying that if he can't pardon himself, no one's getting pardoned. So that's another thing we have to keep an eye on. But with McCarthy, he was saying, he's like, no, it was Antifa. That's what was going on. It's like, I'm not saying anything bad. And that's when apparently for people that were on this call said, quote, this is what McCarthy said back to him, like getting fired up, quote, it's not Antifa, it's MAGA. I know, I was there. And then when they described, quote, the White House official said the call was tense and aggressive at times, with Trump ranting about election fraud and an exasperated McCarthy cutting in to say, stop it. It's over. The election is over.
Ooh. Ouch.
I mean, but too late, man. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what he's scrambling for, because really this is just Kevin McCarthy trying to survive his like pursuit of power more than being like, we've hit an end of a road, President Trump. It's over. We shouldn't have done this. This was a mistake. He's like, you fucking up my chances to be fucking speaker, motherfucker. So please help me. And that just shows you, like, everyone has their own self-serving calculus when it comes to what's happening right now. And because no one is actually cares about the integrity of how this, you know, country is functioning, albeit terribly, we have all these everyone's being pulled in all these fucking weird directions. And the Republican Party is truly having a crisis moment too, because while there are people who are like, you know, you have the never Trumpers that are in office who are like, fuck this. And then a lot of people who are like, no, I'm going all in on the conspiracy theory stuff, no matter what it does to contributions for the party as a whole. So it's a bit chaotic. I mean, but that's just how this year is turning out to be.
It's just so obvious, though, that that's what they're doing. They're like self-serving, but it won't be obvious to the right people.
Right.
You know, like, it's a mess. It's just a damn mess.
Yeah. It's just, it really is. Like, they've found a way to, like, rally the millions of people who cannot accept that they've made a mistake. And, like, it's now just steadfast in this thing of, like, I don't think I've ever done anything wrong ever. And even the things I said that were wrong were actually not right, but they were right back then, maybe wrong now, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong. Like, it's just, like, so confounding.
I mean, it's all Mark Zuckerberg's fault, right?
I mean, I feel like his name needs to be definitely being brought up more in terms of, like, what, you know, social media networks and, like, how these algorithms are, like, accelerating people's radicalization. Absolutely.
Right. Well, everybody just wants followers. Like, Ted Cruz, he's like, man, I'm going to get more followers when I make my big speech. Right. That's all it is.
And all these, like, wealthy patriot types, too, who are, like, big figures in the MAGA patriot QAnon movement, they're typically wealthier people who are sort of like, well, I'm kind of also trying to get my pseudo-celebrity on. And knowing the culture that they operate in, they're like, okay, so I got to go all in on talking this shit to get my numbers up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's when, but that's what's so fucked up. But it makes sense, because no one is actually the people who, you know, there's a set of people who are just hook, line, and sinker ingesting all this shit and it's their reality. Then there's another group who doesn't give a fuck what it means that they're saying. They just like the validation of social media likes and followers,
right?
And not actually putting together like what it's doing. Then there are people who do know what the fuck they're doing, but everyone's just kind of in it for their ego and just this, you know, or sense of belonging. If you're on more of the side of these people who are like, you know, when you read these just interviews with people who have been arrested, who are kind of like, I don't know, like, that's what they told, that's what we were doing. And like, they don't even, they're even confused now.
Oh yeah. Elizabeth from Knoxville had no clue why she was there.
Oh no, not at all. Or the
it's a revolution.
It's a revolution. And for what? Please articulate what the revolution, don't just say it to get Chinese communists.
Stole election.
Everything's just so fake. You know, like, what? Did you see that one? The Good Liars, that video clip that they put up. Oh, my God. Yo, it starts off, their content has been like on point recently, but they were there on the 6th. And the guy's like, hi, I'm here in Washington, D.C., where the largest group of losers has gathered to contest the results of the election, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, here's one now. And it's like these two older guys with like MAGA regalia on. And he's like, sir, like, he just seamlessly from his intro just walks up to this guy, puts a mic in his face. Like, sir, if you could say something to President Trump right now, what would you say? He starts breaking down in tears.
Oh, I've seen that.
And he's like, and I tell him he's the best president ever. And if this doesn't go right, I don't know what's going to happen. And the guy's like, and there you have it. And cut to everything that happened. You're like, oh my God, this is just,
wow.
People have completely, you know, traded their old lives for this cult life. Because even now, like the way people talk on Parler or like the Donald website and all those message boards, right now, the phase of like grief they're in is like they're bragging about how they've completely spiked their personal and familial relationships for this. We're like, yeah, so my wife filed for divorce finally, and it doesn't matter because she's from San Francisco. And you're like, yo, Look at you. Like, right. y'all are, I don't know, like, you, they're going to find themselves in this very isolated place, but that's only going to radicalize them further. So it's hard to see where you interrupt this process.
It is, but it definitely has more in common with a death cult than it does like a, like, from that respect, it has more in common with a death cult than it does like a actual like fascist movement where like people are actually bringing their whole family along with them. Like the people seem to be
right.
more just completely rejected by the next generation for the most part. I mean, it's somewhere in between those two things.
Right.
Great, two great options that we have.
But there. That's why I think it's
fascist uprising or death.
Well,
cult.
Right. And then, but also, like, even in their reality, like, the end game is happening, you know, right. because when Parler goes down, they're kicked off of Twitter. They start reading articles like about how all the information from Parler has been scraped and they know who the users are and where they were like sending Parlies from. That's only going to feed the paranoia of what they believe is like, see, now they've identified all the patriots and now we're on a list. You know what I mean? And that, I think, is another dimension of it that that will also accelerate that I'm very weary and, you know, that's very unsettling to think about. Like, because imagine if in your, like, because this is their reality. You know, there's not many people right. who are like, oh, I know this bullshit, but I'm still go there. Like, no, for a lot of people, because this is the only, like, their perception is this. So that this is their reality, that if you were in a position where you're like, law enforcement has a list of all of us and like, and I was right. there to defend the president, like, what is going on? That kind of, you know, it's
sort of yes. anding.
Yeah.
Their right. whole agenda.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And yeah. not to say that like they shouldn't be doing that, but I'm like, that's where they're at right now, based on like a lot of the things you see. But then there's also the threats to the inauguration are also steadily continuing. So,
yeah. God, can you imagine being a Secret Service agent? Period. That would be terrible. But also, like, for the next 3 years, like, there's
oh
just going to be
a
portion of the population that is openly in favor of assassinating the president. For years,
and law enforcement's like, oh, come on, they're not gonna do, oh, shit, you know what I
right.
mean? Like, that's
right.
how I mean, not that they're even surprised, but they're just being like, oh, you're worrying, go, you're worrying too much.
You know, if I were Biden, I would just skip inauguration and go to Angiri for a couple nights, you know?
I would, hologram inauguration on that shit. Straight up. I'll be like,
but like, not tell anybody, just do the hologram, and then when they try and shoot him, like, he's like backstage and comes out like the Wizard of Oz.
He's like Dr. Manhattan. They put up a 40-foot version of Biden. He's like, hey, you motherfucker. Like, you thought you could fucking defeat me? I'm Joe Biden.
I can't think of a person who would be less imposing as a 40-foot version of themselves than Joe Biden.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. yeah, I'm so
just still
I'm, that's
doddering,
why I'm like,
but
you know, with all the, you know, obviously the tensions are ramping up. There's a lot more stories about how these lawmakers were briefed, how these lawmakers were briefed by law enforcement and intelligence agencies on what they believe the threats are to the inauguration and the Capitol going forward. And it's like, I can't believe anyone would be like, yeah, let's do the inauguration still. And I get that you want to act like, well, they're not going to deter this. But at the same time, these people don't seem like they give a fuck about any, like, they're not going to stop. I don't think, at least if
we should do the thing that people are doing with like their birthdays or Jackie with weddings and be like, we're going to do your big inauguration, Joe, next year after the pandemic and after
2023.
Yeah. 2024 inauguration. Here's what we're going to do. Yeah. when we swear in President Hawley, or President-elect Hawley,
oh,
what we'll do is we'll do Biden's inauguration from his first term, and then you can then just pivot to Hawley, and it'll just be really seamless.
Let's talk about what Trump is saying about his speech, because as we mentioned on yesterday's episode, there's a lot of detailed analysis of his speech that points out that he is directly calling for violence at the Capitol.
Yeah, fight like hell.
But yeah, but the president was asked off prompter to address his comments. And as is the case with any non-scripted speech that he is giving is just fully self-serving, a diluted, warped version of reality.
Terrible thing. And you have to always avoid violence. And we have tremendous support. We have support probably like nobody's ever seen before. Always have to avoid violence.
What is your role in what happened at the Capitol? What is your personal responsibility?
So if you read my speech, and many people have done it, and I've seen it both in the papers and in the media, on television, it's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate. And if you mm-hmm. look at what other people have said, politicians mm-hmm. at a high level, about the riots during the summer, the horrible riots in Portland and Seattle and various other places, that was a real problem, what they said. But they've analyzed my speech and my words and my final paragraph, my final sentence, and everybody to the T thought it was totally appropriate. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Everybody to the T.
You act like you got like your fucking graded book report back.
Right.
They looked at the intro paragraph. They looked at the body. They looked at the conclusion, the topic sentence, and it was fantastic. Like it's like you're saying, this the only way he can demonstrate contrition, as if he ever has, or even approaches something like close to accountability, or like I did an oopsie. This shit has to be scripted, and him just mindlessly reading off a teleprompter, because the jazz musician Donald Trump is an inhumane fucking fascist who doesn't give a fuck about anything but himself, or let alone even like what a movement is around him. He's just like, at the end of the day, it's all about him getting what he wants, and you know, fuck everything else. So. Totally appropriate. The same thing as what he said with fucking the Ukraine call. You know what I mean?
They analyzed it. I've seen on TV. I've seen in the media. They've analyzed it. I don't know. I guess it's probably Newsmax and Fox News.
Yeah, of course. But Billy Crystal analyzed this. Conclusive. And he's also said it was fantastic.
Yup. All right. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk about the big news of the day, the Burger King rebrand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
And they're back. And we're back. And Burger King is also back with a warmer, more 90s inspired logo that I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on.
Isn't this shit the same one?
It's basically the same. They I think they've done a couple things to make it simpler. Like, it used to be a yellow bun and now it's an orange bun.
Oh, and the top bun is a little bit higher than the old school one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like you do with your lips, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Top lip treated.
Interesting. Look at the differences between the Burger King logo and Jack's lips from 2019 to 2021. Mm. The top one got bigger. You.
Thank you.
I like their little style guide that they put out.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, they like the wrappers that they wrap their food in have changed, and they have like they've done a cool redesign that like basically takes it back to basics. I guess the so they had changed their logo 20 years ago to like they put this like blue almost like loading bar around the burger that like and made the burger look like it was like speeding through time and space like by just tilting it a little bit, and it was meant to emphasize,
I don't even get burger from that one.
Yeah, yeah, it was meant to emphasize speed.
Oh, really?
Which is also what their food has emphasized for the past 20 years is just like, yeah, just open up, we'll throw it at your face, you pig. And now, yeah, I mean, supposedly they're, you know, the rebrand is supposed to reflect a new warmth. If they can make their food reflect that new warmth, aka actually be warm. And fries, I've heard they've done a reboot on their fries, which was much needed. I feel like their old fries used to be
they were
be
ripping
like,
off Jack in the Box fries. I remember, like, I was like, oh, y'all are doing this weird.
I feel like they were like battered in a weird way, but not like they. Yeah, it was. I feel like their former fries were similar to what aliens would make it, just based purely on watching humans eat real fries, like not knowing anything else, just like seeing the shape. It was like battered, weird potato-ish sticks, but not really.
Right.
And again, not always hot, not rarely hot enough, I feel like.
I think this is just part of like, I find myself looking backwards constantly and finding comfort in the times where I was not aware enough of how cruel the world was, the 90s. And I'm like, hell yeah, I remember this. This reminds me of a thing I didn't want to eat, but I remember being driven to a practice or something by someone's parent.
Absolutely.
And that's what this evokes. And part of me, like, I think I've really been underrating how much the aesthetic, like how we all just, we pivoted off of the American insurrection in progress to being like, oh, the Burger King thing looks like when we were babies. Like, and immediately found a little comfort in that.
I mean, one side is always, someone's always going to be using nostalgia. It might as well not be the insurrectionists. That's what the Nazis used nostalgia to a really strong, successful effect.
Right.
So, but yeah, people always fuck with nostalgia. I feel like teenagers' shoes now look like the Payless rack from when I was 12.
No, you said teenagers. Like, teenager shoes nowadays.
These teenager shoes.
Were there. Yeah. I'm sorry. They look like what?
Like the Payless rack from when I was 12. Like,
just like it's chunky all just coach like those, shoes.
Yeah, chunky white coach sneakers.
Yeah.
Like the Reeboks and shit. And I don't know. They've also, there are certain brands that have like tried to do the time travel thing, like cereals dabbled with that we talked about on a past episode. Like, they were like, we're going to go back to making the cereals exactly like we made them when you were a kid. And
with lead paint.
Right.
Exactly. I that wasn't a thing that I feel like I was asking for. But I did want to open it up to, like, what are products or brands that you guys would fuck with, like, taking it back to, like, any point in time. Like, I was thinking Pizza Hut needs to go back to those old pizza parlors that have all been turned into bank buildings that randomly have a weird hat shape roof.
Yeah, the buffet. We used to go to, we had one by our high school. We would always jack all the silverware. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with us. But we will go to this.
Yeah, they need to bring back that summer reading program where kids could. Yeah,
yo, we used to have so many of those red
pebble glass pitchers of soda, pebble glass. Red soda cups,
pebbled plastic Coca Cola cup. We used to just by the handfuls, and I remember we would just be like, "Look at my boy Chris. Like, what are we doing with all this shit? Like, why?"
I bet those are on eBay right now for like $50 each.
Right?
Yeah.
Woo.
And they might as well fix
it. Or that like amber-colored, big-ass pebbled cup. You know what I mean? The plastic amber one that was like sort of generic throughout the 80s and early 90s. I might have to just rearrange all my shit so I feel like I'm out like round table pizza in 88.
I want a cafeteria tray and I want to like eat my food on it every day.
See, this is all just, don't worry. We'll be doing that in the prison camps when the fascist takeover happens.
Yeah,
more McDonald's for you, prisoner. Slop. Like
the prison camp will just be very 90s design.
We'd love the
record. Yeah, but we'd love the aesthetic. The old McDonald's. Remember the old McDonald's, like hand, like sort of cursive script shit they used to have.
Yeah,
That's another thing I would think about.
I feel like new McDonald's though, like they now have like video game consoles in McDonald's that you can like kids can play, which is dirty, but so was the ball pit. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh shit.
I feel like they've been up in their game quietly a little bit, like the in-person McDonald's.
I haven't been in one in a minute.
Yeah, I stopped in one on a road trip a couple years ago and I was like
playing Xbox all day in there.
Yeah, I just sat in there and the kids were out in the car crying, but I was, I mean, they're like very simple kid-based games, but it's basically the same idea as like the Playhouse.
Right.
But...
Oh, right. Damn, the Playhouse. I remember I fucked my knee up really bad in one of those, but you know.
Have cars tried doing the thing that like shoes do now?
Like retroing?
Where they like release retro? Like I would fuck with like an old... Like I put a picture in the doc of like this old like 90s hatchback that I would like if you could get a new one of those. Like,
I would drive that would a Mustang dope. 5.0, an old school drug dealer
but like
car.
A hybrid.
Yeah. Like, and you could just put a speaker in that shit to make it sound like the wild exhaust. I mean, like they're bringing the Bronco back. That's like the closest thing I can think of them being like, huh? Remember when OJ? But it doesn't really look right. like. I mean, it's based off of it. It's just a behemoth of a car. But yeah, I mean, sure. Why not retro these cars?
Like
my
straight
dad
up-
still has a Bronco from 92 and he drives it to this day. It has almost 400,000 miles on it.
Oh, hell yeah. What color is it?
It's like dark navy with the white like top.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's and when I was in high school, I was like embarrassed by it because that was like, it was a 90s car and this was the 2000s. Yep. But now when I go home, I'm like, Dad, can I drive the Bronco?
Yeah. For a photo shoot.
But I can't anymore. It is now a classic car and it's on special classic car insurance.
It's a classic car?
Anything over 25 years old is a classic car. So it gets filed under a different insurance policy.
Is it more or less? More because to repair it would
probably
possibly,
more.
Damn. Got the vintage
Bronco. Oh, I don't
Bronco,
know, actually. I don't know.
Looking like OJ and AC cruising down the 405.
I mean, it's really cool. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It doesn't start 9 times out of 10, but when it does.
Right. I mean, I don't want the interior and like the engine to be the 90s version. Like, yeah, it should definitely be an electric vehicle or something. But just like the body and the design, I feel like there's like something dope about some of the old cars.
Hey, just so you know, John Johnson, my dad, has kept it up real nice. The interior looks clean.
Ooh. Wow. See?
So if y'all want to come to Dallas,
bring a trailer.
Ride in
bring
the
a trailer.com. He's putting that thing up. But yeah, I think the other one, a 2002 Nissan Skyline R34. I'll take that retroed.
Yeah, I'm not a car guy, so I just like looked up a picture on Google Images and was like, yeah, this one
will do.
It's like, I always called it a rabbit because I think there was a car called the rabbit that looked like
that. What was your first car? What was everybody's first car?
My first car was it was basically my mom's car, but it was a Chevy Blazer two-door
SUV. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Like, it was like basically the little brother of the Bronco.
Right, exactly.
What about you, Jackie?
Yeah.
I drove a gold Chrysler Sebring convertible. Woo! Because that's what Rose McGowan drove in Jawbreaker.
Oh, shit.
And I said, I need that.
Oh, my God.
That's
what was the main song?
It was used, but it was pretty cool.
That soundtrack. I had that soundtrack from Jawbreaker.
Yeah.
Man.
Maybe I'll sing that next time I'm here.
All right. Other pitches I have for you guys. A mall that is just completely like from the 80s. Like, you just take that Wonder Woman 84 mall and just like bring it to life.
The Stranger Things mall.
Yeah. Stranger Things mall.
I want to smell incense in Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah, exactly.
And flip through the blacklight posters. Right.
I want to go to Walden Books. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to go to...
Yeah, exactly. Walden Books.
Exactly. I want to go to motherfucking Imaginarium. You know what I mean? And walk through the little door on the side, like the Gymboree store. Okay, I want to play with the rain stick and Imaginarium and then go to Sharper Image.
Oh, yeah.
And be told to get off.
Told to get off
because I'm a child. But really, they mean I'm not a serious customer.
Fuck. Oh, yeah, Sharper Image.
And go to A&W. Go to fucking Orange Julius.
Yeah.
Woo!
They could do the, like, these brands need to.
Look, for any savvy entrepreneur out there that listens to the show and wants some bad advice from a podcaster, listen to this idea I have. It's all about experiencing shit after this. Like, I cannot imagine a dam that is, like, holding back something more, like, ferocious than people's desires to, like, be around other people and just do what is like normal, quote unquote. And I feel like that shit is going to be reduced to literally like walking around a sick ass mall that looked like it did 30 years ago.
No, you know how like people go to Ren Fairs and they get into character? Like, I want to go into an immersive mall where no one has their phones. No one's allowed to have phones out.
Oh shit, right.
And you have to dress up.
Yeah, you put them in the bag like at a Dave Chappelle show. Right.
And everyone is like cosplaying as a different person and like we have to do
this.
And
it's Clinton's first
term. I mean,
at least
Disney should have this like as a section of the park or something.
Oh yeah, right? Like Mall World.
Yeah.
You
just get a
90s.
I mean, you're one of these people who buys a bunch of distressed brands that were big in the 90s, so you own all the fucking copyrights and things like that.
Yeah.
And then you team up with these abandoned mall owners and be like, "Yo, I know this sounds wild."
There's a ton of abandoned malls.
Yeah, you think this sounds wild, but motherfuckers will come here and shop. I'll
buy all of the limited two. I will buy limited two sweatshirts, pants, everything.
Merry-go-round, chess king.
I'll write my parents' information on that dumbass raffle to win a Mitsubishi Eclipse in the middle of the mall.
And all it does is sign them up for like junk mail for life.
Exactly. And they're like, "What the fuck is this? What am I gonna lose Mitsubishi?"
That's actually what drove that generation to be as bad as they are. Is all the junk mail we signed them up for?
That's where it started.
God, do you know anybody who ever won one of them?
No, it's a scam to get your information.
Wait, I mean, someone had to win, even if it was a stooge, right?
I won one sweepstakes in my life from the back of a pizza box, or not a pizza box, a cereal box. And it was like it was sort of like a broke knockoff Lego set. But I had to send away for it. It came and it was like it was like five pieces that they gave you. Like that
wasn't even worth the postage that it took.
Some bullshit.
My mom got to be on a billboard once because she won a radio station contest.
Oh, that's tight.
Mm. That is very
good. Never won
She just had a bumper sticker on her car and they like found her or whatever.
I won a raffle at my block party in 97 where I got a basically industry copy of the Batman Forever soundtrack. And by industry copy, you knew because they drilled that hole in the barcode in the back. Because you're like, this shit was not bought from a store. This shit came out the Warner Brothers offices.
Wow.
And
wow.
I remember being like, yo, because I've never fucking won anything. I remember looking at that ticket and them calling the number out. And I'm like, I'm in, motherfucker. Get me that Batman Forever motherfucking soundtrack.
That was good soundtrack,
yeah.
Too.
I have another. Yeah,
oh, no.
That is like,
I'm sorry, it wasn't Batman Forever.
Last, like,
I'm so sorry. So, it was Batman and Robin. That's the one that had... the fucking
Alicia Silverstone.
Yes, and also had a Smashing Pumpkins
yes.
track on it.
That's a forgotten bop, honestly. Yeah. We just rewatched all
the end
Batman
is the
films.
Beginning of the end is the end or whatever I feel was like the name of that song. The end is the beginning is the end.
Is the end.
And that's a good song. Was the movie better than you remember?
I don't remember.
No.
I remember that fucking soundtrack.
It's
Bone Thugs.
The movie is very, very silly, ridiculously silly. Almost, I guess when I saw it, I thought it was fun. Like the Joel Schumacher Batmans, you know, they are very campy, but it was really, really silly. Yeah. I'm a Batman Forever gal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Batman Forever is dope.
But
yeah.
Ben liked Batman
Returns.
You know,
kill the dinosaurs, the Ice Age. Thank you.
I just love Jim Carrey. I don't know if I ever cannot.
Mm-hmm. No,
Batman Returns is dope. It's getting to the point that like you all like film people are like Batman Returns is actually one of the
you
got to
check
movies.
This shit out.
Yes.
I know. Yeah. I saw it bubbling when people it ended up on a lot of Christmas film lists. I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, that song by Bone Thugs. Look into my eyes and tell me what it is you see. Man, that shit.
God, so 97.
Take me.
I
back.
Feel like soundtracks are a nostalgia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I think the deals are just different now. Like, and people are like, I don't know if I'm gonna license my song for that thing when I can make more money by not having it on this compilation CD, essentially. And also, like, gone are the days of like, yo, Puff Daddy made a song just for the new
Godzilla
fucking Avengers movie. You know what I mean? Yeah, because it was Come With Me was the fucking my God. People were like, what is Diddy doing?
Yeah. Okay, another pitch. If you opened a Blockbuster in LA where you could rent a wireless VCR that could be like attached to either your TV via Wi-Fi or Chromecast or something like that, I feel like people might be into
what
that.
I think the other version is just put VHS quality things on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like it's a thing. Like just be like, you want that shit 4K, 1080, 720, motherfucking VHS, bro.
But the experience of going to Blockbuster, I feel like people still fuck with.
Yeah, that seems like a bit of the mall thing. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's because...
I mean, these kids, these teenagers, you know, they don't know the struggle of going to Blockbuster on a Friday night and everything's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the new releases are out.
Oh, you want to play Earthworm Jim on Super Nintendo? See you in 7 years, motherfucker. Because somebody been
like
get on the
35
wait list,
copies of Titanic, though?
Yeah, it's like...
Because we got
No, actually, just crush me under a pile of Titanic VHSs, please. A fitting end for me.
All right, so we'll stick with malls. No bringing Blockbuster back.
I just...
There'll be a Suncoast video at the mall.
There'll be a Suncoast, obviously, with the Sam Goody right next door. I mean, it's all...
Do either of you have sisters, or, I don't know, maybe you, Sanrio Surprise, the
Sanrio
store.
I'm
Hello
only
Kitty.
Child, but yeah, I was on that shit so early. And I remember there was a Sanrio store, like, in a mall by me, and I remember, like, I would be, like, tell my mom, I'm like, it's different than what they have in Japan. And then walk out in disgust. And then like I would dunk on, like, I remember when that shit was big, when I was in Japan, I made sure to like bring the fucking like Batsumaru shit before that was out, and I'm like, oh, y'all fucking with Keropi. Check out Batsumaru. Y'all ain't even got this shit out here,
Japan.
Motherfucker. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, that is actually the benefits of being coming from an interracial marriage. Okay, that's what that is.
Jackie, it has been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
Well, I have a podcast called Natch Butte, and it comes out every Thursday, and it is a beauty comedy podcast. We talk about self-care and skincare and beauty and things like that. So check that out. And maybe I need to incite I don't know. My Instagram is pretty flat these days. I have had zero growth in a year. Zero growth in a year, honey.
Get there.
So if you want to follow if you want to come say hi, it's Jackie Michelle Johnson on Instagram. Go ahead. I'll post if y'all come, you know.
And
I know that was a ringing
intro for the dog photos too, you know, Chooch, you know what I mean? Check out the Chooch photos. Chooch.
Yeah, there's a dog, you know.
Yeah. Jackie, is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
I mean, listen, I'm from Texas originally, and I just hate Ted Cruz. I hate him so deeply in my body. And Allison Agosti, who's a great Twitter assassin, tweeted yesterday, "I think that Ted Cruz is a malignant presence in the Senate and a threat to democracy, but I also think it's really, really funny that he's trying to be hot." And she posted this photo of him, and it's true. He really is trying to be hot.
I know. There was another photo I saw of him. It looked like if Mario Lopez completely fucked his life up.
Is it that one?
No, there's like one where he like, it's like he's doing like this weird, it's like they're catching him mid-sentence, so he's really, his face is contorted. Like they were shading him by putting it there, but I was looking, I was like, and I was showing Her Majesty, I'm like, doesn't that kind of look like a fucked up Mario Lopez? It did, but
yeah.
Mario Lopez, I need his skin routine.
You mean
what, he has not aged?
Okay, well, go to Mount Doom and spill your blood before Satan, and then you know, you might get that contact info for that dermatologist.
I mean, at back at Cracked, our writer Robert Brockway was writing like over a decade ago about
keep your eye on
how
this guy.
Mario Lopez is in league with Satan. Yeah, and it's nothing I have seen has led me to not.
Jackie, for someone who does a podcast about skincare and things like that, is there any scientific research of looking at these shapeshifter immortal types and being like, do we need to kind of figure out what the fuck is going on with them to start figuring out how we can get everybody right?
You know what? That's something I'm going to deeply look into now.
I think that's a good episode. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like the science of like the Pharrells and Mario Lopez and shit.
To be honest, I think it's human growth hormone, but I don't know if that's.
See, but let's get to it.
I'm not.
What's the myth of? Yeah. Because, okay, like is like Angela Bassett has aged remarkably. Oh, and that ain't no HGH. You know what I mean? And obviously.
No, I think some people are just blessed.
Yeah. And God.
Yes. Yeah. She is a queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a literal African.
Let us know. Let us know, Zygang. Is it HGH? What is going on? Is there maybe you're a scientist and you is this even a field of study? Because there has to be some looking at people who age remarkably well and be like, how do we get there?
Well, Pharrell is really into skincare. He has his own line. And I heard he uses eye cream as full face cream. And he also exfoliates every single day.
He bobs for apples and Le Maire. Yeah.
Yes. Goals.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you?
I was
enjoying?
Just thinking. You seen the OA?
No.
Oh man, there's like because you know it's all about these near death experiences, and they have to get hooked up to this helmet that fills up with water to like drown them to get them to these near death experiences. I was just thinking of Pharrell like that, but it's just all eye cream fills up this like glass head boy and just comes out looking beautiful. For me,
it'd be worth it.
Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray, 420 Day Fiance is the other podcast. We're just talking 90 Day. And some tweets that I like. Let's see. The first one is from at Adam Friedland. Says, not watching Queen's Gambit. Don't like it when girls play games. Stupid. another one's from Jesse Gaskell at Jesse's twat. FBI agents frantically learning to play bass so they can infiltrate every Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band. So, yeah. Or just like look in your own departments too. But anyway, that might work too. Mm. Oh, sorry. And one more. From at Fizza Dosani, a past guest, she tweets, sex is cool, but have you ever been brown while watching white terrorists dragged off a plane? bit of Schadenfreude, yeah.
I think I must be hungry because all the tweets I'm liking are about food. Rodney LaCroix, great name, Rod LaCroix, at Rod LaCroix. If you mean putting a sheet of foil down so I don't have to wash the baking sheet after making nachos, then yes, I do clean eating. Jeff McMahon tweeted in Tenet they should have worked in a scene where Kenneth Branagh pulls a fresh meatball sub out of his mouth. I haven't seen Tenet, but that would have been the best thing to see in reverse. And then Blank Patch just tweeted, DoorDash, when you need the wrong order and you don't need it fast. trademark. I hate DoorDash. They're the worst. Oh boy. Unless they want to sponsor the show. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding?
Kind of feeling in a J-poppy mood now with all the talk of Sandio. Oh, there's also a theme park out there. I don't know if it's still open in Japan, which is wild. So this is actually a group called Kero Kero Bonito, which is a group from London, but the lead singer, I believe, is half Japanese, or she moved from Japan. And like some of their other songs are pretty big, like Flamingo is one people hear.
I love Flamingo.
But this one is I'd Rather Sleep, and has more of like a, you know, like Irie vibe, island vibe to it. So just like a good, just easy listening. You know what I mean? Just to get into it.
I love that. I might go get me an Impossible Burger from Burger King and enjoy this song.
I tried to play Flamingo at a thing with like my wife's friends one time, and I was like, hey, is this playlist good for you guys? And they were like, what the fuck is this?
Are we caught in someone's fucked up TikTok?
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's gonna do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then.
Bye.
I feel so funny these days. I'd rather sleep than stay awake. Trees used to talk to me. Now I know what's real and what is fake. Now I know what's real, what's fake. Rather sleep than stay awake. Are we from outer space? This doesn't feel like the right place. And we'll try any...
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.